Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, big news today out of the world of basketball. And I'm not even saying women's basketball. I'm talking about just in basketball in general. Diana Taurasi, who won at every single level, announced her retirement from the WNBA. And she utilized Time Magazine to get the word out there. And joining us now, courtesy of the hotline, is Sloan Martin. Sloan Martin, we love talking to Sloan about college basketball, women's college basketball, WNBA, phenomenal broadcaster on, I don't know, how many channels are you up to now? How many apps are you up to now?
Okay, it's mostly BTN, Fox/FS1, and Peacock.
All right, so she joins us on the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. First off, how you doing?
I'm doing good. But even when, you know, as we talk about this, even when you know what's coming, you know her age, it still feels a little weird today.
Yeah, and this is the thing. Like, she's been so phenomenal with her basketball career. I didn't even actually realize that she's 42. Like, that just tells you the span of greatness that has been Diana Taurasi, the leading scorer in WNBA history, voted greatest of all time by the league's fans, 20 years in the WNBA. I guess the first question would be, do you agree that she is the greatest of all time?
Oh, boy. Okay, that is an interesting question. Let me say this first.
And it's not an easy answer either.
No, it's not. And the thing is, it's hard when you look at her to pick which accomplishment is the most impressive. The 3 championships, the 6 Olympic gold medals, that's a pretty high one for me. Her 10,646 points in her WNBA career. The list goes on and on and on. I even pulled up in my notes here something that Cheryl Reeves said about her earlier this summer when they were playing. Because, you know, wondering when the end could be. She was not having any kind of farewell tour. It could happen any time, just as we found out today, obviously. And Cheryl said, who has coached her with Team USA, she's going to compete her behind off. There is no quit in her. Compared her to the Tom Brady of the WNBA, that this sport is just in her blood. And she said she continues to be one of the best guards in the league, Henry. She said that just last year at 42 years old. So clearly even someone like Cheryl Reeve just has immense respect for Diana Taurasi. I think there is absolutely an argument you can make that she is the best player of all time. Do I personally think she is? I might put some other arguments ahead of that, but I would absolutely accept that. If you believe that she was the best player in women's basketball history and WNBA history, I would really not have a lot to come back with.
Yo, I'm with you. I think that the way that I would look at it, well, because let me read this off real quick. 6-time gold medalist, 3-time WNBA champion, twice WNBA finals MVP. She has the WNBA MVP in 2009. All-time leading scorer, 11-time All-Star. She was Rookie of the Year, 10-time All-WNBA First Team, 4-time USA Basketball Female Athlete of the Year, 6-time EuroLeague champ, 3-time MVP over in the EuroLeague, 7-time Russian League champ.
Henry, your show's only so long.
I know. 3 times Player of the Year in Russia. 3 times she won a national championship in the NCAA. This is the thing. I think that if you're talking about accomplishments, there's nobody that has more accomplishments. But that's where I think that you can definitively say she's the most accomplished. But greatest, I'm in agreement with you. Like, there's a couple other names that you put in that conversation. But if somebody was to say that she's the GOAT or she's the greatest, I wouldn't have any real pushback on that. I'm with you.
I'm totally with you there, Henry, because you're right. Especially when we talk about, and this is a reason where maybe I'd put her, you know, really high up there, and why I do accept this argument. Everything you listed off, winning.
Yep.
She was just defined her entire career by winning. Yes, it's the statistics, you know, having 3,000 plus more points than anyone who has ever played in WNBA history. Everything that you listed off, but the winning was unmatched. And that, to me, is a really important way for how we define who is the best. That means something. Championships, gold medals, they mean something.
Yep. We're talking to Sloan Martin here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. Let's talk some women's college basketball. I'm more excited for the women's tournament this year than the men's tournament. And it's not because I'm trying to slight the men. I love men's college basketball. Still my favorite out of all the sports, and that includes all the professional sports. But it's just, I'm more excited for the star power that is women's college basketball this year. And I think that there are legitimately, like, seven teams that could cut down the nets and win the title. I think that Texas, the new number one, could win it. UCLA could win it. Notre Dame could win it. USC could win it. UConn, South Carolina, LSU. I think that those are the top teams with the best shot at winning the national title. So what do you make of this season, specifically in the women's game? Because I have loved every single moment. I was fixated on Notre Dame taking on NC State this past weekend and that going into double overtime. I just love these games and matchups.
It has been just such a phenomenal season. Those teams you mentioned, we've seen some fluctuations at the top between Texas, UCLA, and Notre Dame. And, you know, what has been fun about this, too, is that, believe it or not, even with all the star power, I'm not exactly sure who even is National Player of the Year, even Big Ten Player of the Year, kind of looking in our own backyard here. I was thinking actually Lauren Betts of UCLA for some time, the 6'7" center, immense impact on both sides of the floor, defensively especially. She is such a force until Juju Watkins had the 38 points, 8 blocks, filled the stat sheet against their rival UCLA, the number one team in the country. They're going to match up again on the final day of the regular season on March 2nd. I'm already like buckling my seatbelt for that one at Poly Pavilion. For that one too.
Do you get to call that game?
No, Henry, thanks for rubbing it in.
No, I wasn't curious. You were getting excited. I was getting excited with you, and I was getting excited for you if you were going to call that game. I think that that game and that matchup potentially could decide who the player of the year is.
I completely agree with you, because to me that last matchup, because of how close it is, because here's the thing, Juju Watkins is a great defender. You can't use that as a knock against her, and that also goes for someone like Hannah Hidalgo, who I think is also a National Player of the Year candidate for Notre Dame, who is one of the most electric, fun, exciting players. If you have not watched Notre Dame women's basketball, they are such a joy to watch. Sonia Citron could be a top three WNBA draft pick, including another guard they have, Olivia Miles, who is my girl because she wears glasses. I'm supporting everybody who wears goggles and glasses in games. But she is also a really, really exciting player. So that's a team that I think can go very deep too. And people, not here, but what I see, Henry, I feel like people are sleeping, and it's surprising to say this, but I feel confident. I'm not just trying to, you know, cherry pick anecdotal stuff I'm seeing. I think people are sleeping on Paige Beckers a little bit in women's college basketball this year, because there are so many stars, and because UConn plays in a conference that basically only has Creighton, and everybody else is really, unfortunately, not a factor in the Big East, and they have already beaten Creighton this season. So they've had those big non-conference matchups, but I think she's kind of gotten in the mix here, so I'm waiting for her to come in those big moments. She's had a fantastic season, the most efficient player, especially for the volume that she's touching the ball, her usage rate, things like that. But I don't have to tell your audience and our audience this, but do not sleep on Paige Beckers either, for someone who should be in that National Player of the Year conversation.
But I think that Paige Beckers, and it's just me, I think she's one of the top five most underrated athletes going right now. Like she's so smooth with it. And it's not just about like how she does it. She does it. It's not always like like style over substance. She's just out there to win. She's a gamer. And when she needs to give 40 or 30 or whatever, she'll go out and get it. If she needs to get a triple-double, she'll go out and get it. Like, that's just who she is. I think she's top five in all of sports, most underrated.
I totally agree with that. And even someone who has such a big platform, she just had this GQ spread today modeling on the
Ukraine really?
Campus. You got to check it out. It is so cool.
Oh, I got my GQ in the mail today. Michael B. Jordan's on the cover, I think.
Okay, well, you got to check it out because she looks amazing, and it is so cool to see a women's basketball player have that kind of platform, that kind of audience, and that crossover audience, too. But I think you're right that she's not flashy, and that's not to take away from these other superstars in the game who are, you know, volume shooters. There's nothing that's, frankly, sexy about her going, you know, having 18 points on, you know, 7-4-11 shooting with 6 assists and 0 turnovers, you know, like that's so routine for her. Her efficiency and productivity and how unselfish she is something that completely defines her. So I'm happy that, you know, she's getting the shine even outside of basketball circles too. And, but you're right. I think that she's sunken a little too much in this conversation for National Player of the Year. And she needs to be right in the mix.
Hey, this texture from the 651 says, "Hi, Henry. Tarazi, great, but not thrilled with how she treated Caitlin Clark." I think that's actually, at least in my opinion, and you can react to it, I think that's overblown. I think that whenever you have rookies, great rookies coming to the league, they're going to get that treatment from the older people that are in the league. That's just how it is, especially the ones with the star power behind them. I think that eventually Juju's going to get that treatment. I think that Paige is going to get that treatment to some degree. I'm not saying full-blown, and I'm not saying that Tarazi couldn't have dealt with Caitlin a little bit better, but I think that that's kind of overblown to me, at least in my opinion.
I completely agree with you. And the thing is about this is that we need to remember that, like, Caitlin's also, you know, a grown woman and a competitive woman, and that's not going to get under her skin. In fact, that's something that's just going to ignite her even more to have the kind of great season that she did. I did not see it as an unfriendly or negative even comment. That was just a vet talking about a rook who has been through and seen everything. And I know this from anecdotal stories that I've heard around the WNBA too. If you're Diana Taurasi, you're not around for 20 years, 6 Olympic gold medal winning Olympic teams, if you're also not a person of character. I think that, of course, talent is going to keep you on the floor and keep you on teams, but to have the kind of career she's had, you hear from so many people about the person that she is, the teammate that she is too, that you just, it's hard to assign that kind of malice towards someone like that, and certainly it was run away with.
All right, Sloan, final question for you, and then we'll let you go. I'm not, at this particular point, overly concerned that the Minnesota Golden Gophers will miss the tournament. There is a chance that if they don't, you know, get a couple of wins here to kind of close out the year or in the tournament, that they could fall short. But I feel like you can't have an NCAA tournament without this year's version of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. But my question is this. Any update on Mara Braun?
You know, at this point, and this is not me breaking any news of any time, but any kind, I should say, but it's hard to see her maybe coming back. I know that the last couple Gopher games I did, they're, you know, continuing to say that she's out indefinitely and keeping that option open. She is raring, Henry, to get back onto the floor. She is such a spirited competitor. She cares so much about the Gophers, so much about this team. They have achieved so much without someone on the floor who is a leader, not just their leading scorer, but someone who plays such an important role too. So I'll be interested to see the possibility. I'm just, based on what the team has said, the possibility is still open. But when you look at the calendar, you have to think about, you know, what's best for her in the long run, things like that. But this is a team, you're right, Henry, that's why maybe it wouldn't be surprising to see, you know, things change because of really the sense of urgency they have to make the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2018, Henry. That's a pretty good drought that they have going on right now, and a fantastic job that Don Plitzewait has done in leading this team. Now they are, I'm looking at the net rankings right now, which is now equal between men and women in terms of how that's evaluated and all the numbers that goes into it. They're 32, which puts them in a pretty solid position right now. They're 0-5 against quad one teams.
Yeah,
so if they're able to get some kind of signature win only a couple games left in the regular season, but the Big Ten tournament, I think Henry is going to be huge for them. They're going to be playing on that day one, only getting a single bye, or possibly they could be playing on Wednesday, actually. So that's going to be an extra game for them. They really have to win, not lose to anybody that they shouldn't in that case. There really is, you know, foot on the gas for them to make it and just make completely sure that they're not going to be left out.
The Indiana game wasn't a quad one?
No.
Oh, okay. Man.
Yeah, it gets a little, you know, the formulas and stuff like that, where it depends on if it's home and road and things like that. But I'm looking at it now. They're 0-5 against quad one opponents this year.
Got you. Hey, Sloan, you're the best. I appreciate the time tonight.
All right. Thanks, Henry. Anytime.
All right. Take care. That's Sloan Martin joining us here on The Lake Show. Fabulous talent on the microphone. She is just, I'm so happy because Sloan has always been a rock star. She was a rock star when she was here, and she's even more of a rock star now. All right, we will take a break. Actually, let's move Word on the Street to the end of the show because we've got a short segment coming up next here on the Good Neighbor.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got a couple of minutes before we take a final look at weather and get into some other, another topic, and then we close things out eventually with Word on the Street. Let me just give a public service announcement, okay? This is for everybody out there in the listening audience.
I'm listening.
They're less now than the last couple of years, but there's still some out there that will text the show and they think that they are insulting the show, insulting me, insulting you, or they're offending us in some way. And you're not, because I don't care. When people text, "Hey, you liberals," or, you know, woke, I'm not insulted when you do that, because I've said this a million times, and I'll probably end up saying it a million more times. I don't attach labels to myself. And if you want to label me a liberal, whatever, man, or label me as woke, whatever, do whatever you want to do. But if you think that texting the show and starting off the text with, "Hey, you liberals," like, I just laugh at you. No one cares about that label but you. So, you know, it's funny how you project your insecurity on somebody else. But if you think that I'm offended being called a liberal, like, really? I'm offended by being called a liberal or you woke? I'm offended? Not in the least.
Yeah. There you go. Give me some sloth. Just go, "Hey, you guys." Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't mind it.
Let me say it.
Yeah.
They think that it's some sort of like, yeah, I'm gonna disrespect them. Like, calling somebody a liberal is disrespecting them?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have any problem with anybody texting. The text line, as long as you're not using vulgarity or making any threats.
No, I don't care that they're texting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, whether you agree, whether you disagree, I enjoy constructive conversation. And I mean, sometimes people are going to be upset. Sometimes people are going to be happy, or I mean, some people hate listen.
No,
some people love it.
But some people they'll text that and they're like, "I got you. I'm gonna call. I'm gonna like what?
Yeah,
it's just a weird thing.
I mean, I don't know. I guess you know some people. You know, they're coming at it from the point that hey, this is I want to voice my opinion. And I love it. Like, I absolutely love. We see all the text messages, don't respond to all of them because it's a three-hour
show. I see the majority of them.
And
sometimes I don't see some of them.
Yeah, and that's just the thing. Like, there's so many things that are going on during the course of the show that we try to get to as many as we can. But, yeah, it's – again, I've got very few rules for the text line. I do. Just no swearing, no vulgarity, no threats. Outside of that, let's have some fun. Let's have some fun. Text, you know, sometimes, you know, everybody's got an opinion. I've got no problem with that whatsoever. Doesn't, yeah, like kind of like you.
Yeah, no one, yeah. And I'm not saying I don't have an issue with anybody texting. It's just like, it's not the I got you that you think it is. I got you. I'm going to call you a liberal.
Yeah.
I'm gonna ruin your day. I'm gonna ruin your show.
No
one gives a damn.
I think it is though.
Well, I'm gonna turn to another station. Okay, see yourself out.
Yeah, I mean that's just it. It's like this isn't an airline. You don't have to announce your departure, right? I mean it's like well, if I don't agree with this subject, then I mean I was thinking about this earlier. Not every subject is going to land. Like you find things interesting that you want to talk about. I put things out there. Sometimes they work. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes listeners, they're like, yeah, I don't want to hear about it anymore. Sometimes they love it.
And let me say this. For the most part, I'm not into the whole labels thing. But I'm going to utilize labels just for this specific point that I want to make. Mm-hmm. Those people that label themselves conservatives, right? They label themselves that. Typically, those are the individuals that will text with that sentiment. When I have come down hard on Joe Biden, when I have come down hard on Mary Moriarty, when I have come down on Jacob Fry, when I have come down on people that are identified as Democrats, I don't have people that label themselves as Democrats or liberals. I don't have them texting into the show talking about how dare you. I don't have that. Typically, when it's Trump related or I'm challenging somebody else, then that's when you get the people that are you woke or you. And I'll say it again. No one gives a damn. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not offended by it. All I'm saying is if you think that like you're getting a cookie from the show and you can buy my Henry Lake cookie this coming summer when it comes back out, it helps support Boulder Options. Or if you want to buy my ice cream flavor from Sebastian Joe's, you can do that too. But if you think that that's offending me anyway, sorry.
There are a lot of things that we can
do. We just laugh at it.
There are a lot of things that we can be at the same time. An a-hole, a D-bag, a loser, woke.
And the text line, and just so people to also be transparent, the text line isn't as transparent as you think it is. Like you think it's... I mean, it's not as transparent. It's not as secretive. Like people think that anytime
there's anonymous.
They're anonymous. That's the word I was like, it's you're not anonymous. Like in life, the same way that you can send emails and get caught up with you say on email, anytime you attach your number to anything, well, you know how that works.
Yeah, I'm waiting for something with 867-5309. Like, I don't care what you say. If you've got a number 867-5309 anywhere in the metro, you can text whatever you want to me. Whatever you want. Carte blanche.
Oh,
let me have it.
Jan and Greenwell, we can't play Bee Gees every night. I mean, I love me some Bee Gees.
Well, why? Well,
I told you the one song. I said, "Did you load it into the system?"
No, I didn't.
I bet you didn't.
No,
exactly.
I didn't. No,
I we'll come up with something. We'll come back with some sort of bumper coming up next. Text line says, "Why do they listen? Keep up the good work." Well, I appreciate that. Coming up next, though, a situation that occurred on and airlines, and I'm trying to figure out what the airlines should have done. We'll discuss that next here on The Lake Show. This goes out to Jan in Greenwood. I love this song. A little David Bowie. Let's dance.
Oh, part of one of the greatest movie franchises in the history of cinema. The Zoolander. The Zoolander franchise.
Why? Love it. Are you just putting it on it because it's part of the soundtrack?
Yes.
Oh. But it's so... When did Zoolander come out?
Oh, like 2006.
So, I mean, like, how many years after the fact? Almost 25 years?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, hey. Well, it also had Wham's Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. I mean, there's a lot of...
That's a long time to attach us.
I know, but just because the song... David Bowie was a genius.
Of course.
Like, oh, man.
This is great.
It's great stuff, yeah. This one... Yeah, this one slaps.
I need help here. So... With this particular, it is a very tragic situation, and I feel for this couple. You guys have probably heard by now that there was a flight from Australia to Qatar, and they were utilizing that airlines. But on that, well, it was from Melbourne to Doha. Last week, Mitchell Ring and Jennifer Collin were on the flight. 10 hours into the flight, a woman that was on the flight exited the restroom, collapsed, and died in front of them. Okay? That's what the couple told A Current Affair this past Sunday. Ring says, quote, they did everything they could, but unfortunately the lady couldn't be saved, which was pretty heartbreaking to watch. I can't even imagine being on an airplane. Somebody comes out of the bathroom, they collapse and die in front of me. Like, that's traumatizing, okay?
Yeah.
There's no question about it. Ring said that the flight crew then put the woman's body in an empty seat next to the couple for the remaining 4 hours of the flight. Quote, Ring said this, they looked a bit frustrated, then they just looked at me and saw seats were available beside me. My wife was on the other side. We were in a row of four. They said, can you move over, please? And I just said, yes, no problem. Then they placed the lady in the chair I was in. All right, so clearly, I mean, you got 4 hours to get to,
to your destination,
to land. This is not a situation that you draw up every day or happens all the time, right? Like, somebody literally lost their life on the flight. Mm-hmm. Very sad, very unfortunate. And the airline said, first and foremost, our thoughts are with the family of the passenger who sadly passed away on board our flight. We apologize for any inconvenience or distress the incident may have caused and are in the process of contacting passengers in line with our policies and procedures. Now, this is where I need your guys' assistance. In the story, it says the couple said the flight crew would not let them change seats for the rest of the flight and asked them to remain seated as medical staffers address the body upon landing. All right, there's two things with that. If there were available seats for them to move, they should have allowed that couple to move. That should go without saying.
No question.
Number one. Number two, when they, upon landing, they should have allowed those people that had to sit next to that corpse for 4 hours. They should have let them off first.
Yes.
I understand that you got to get to the body, and I'm sorry. That those people should not have to sit through the rest of having to deal with that situation. Maybe you guys out there listening feel I'm wrong with saying that. 651-461-9226. What should the airlines have done? Because this is a very – And I will admit, it's easy for me to be on the radio and say that. Like, it's different to be 30,000 or however many feet mm-hmm. there were and to actually have to deal with it. I'm not 100% sure how the airline should have dealt with it. But I will say this. If there were available seats for that couple to move to, they should have been allowed to move.
Even if they would have been separated.
Yep.
I'm sure they would have been just fine. But if they had open seats, I mean, if they were looking for a place to put the body, I understand you've got to put this human being somewhere. And I would think, I understand logically, you're like, okay, let's put him in a seat and put a sheet or something over them, because I don't know where else you could put it. I mean, because we know where the flight attendants sit, very, very small. You couldn't put it in the restroom, because people have to use the restroom on the plane.
It's an international flight.
It's an international flight. I understand where the flight attendants, the flight crew, I understand where they are limited on their options. But when you're asking this couple, you basically got to sit there next to this dead body.
Yeah, I don't. You got to compensate them.
You
somehow
have to compensate them.
You got to do something.
And you can't tell them, hey, by the way, you have to sit there. Mm. No, absolutely. They need to be let off first. Like, you know, absolutely. And did not the airlines did not offer them any support after the fact. We apologize for the inconvenience or distress this incident may have caused. Really? I could not think of anything outside of being in a Delta situation where it flipped like it did in Toronto that could be more disturbing than this. Like, to see somebody die and you can't get away from it. Like, you're trapped for the duration of the flight. Like, they're basically telling you, I'm sorry, but you're stuck because we don't know what to do.
If there were open seats and I saw that there were open seats, I probably would have demanded that I be allowed to move. And there really isn't much you could say.
Yeah,
to
why wouldn't they have, if there were open seats, why wouldn't they have allowed them to move?
I don't know. Maybe there weren't enough open seats, or I don't, because we don't have any definitive information on that.
If there were no open seats, I understand where they were limited. But if there were open seats, then you need to create distance between this body and any passengers around it.
I feel so bad, man. And they said they collapsed after they were coming out of the restroom.
Mm.
That just, oh.
It makes me nervous. Makes me, like, I mean, my wife is flying out on Friday morning, and it's going to be super windy. I mean, she's flying to Florida, but it's like,
okay. This is an actual picture.
Oh, no, I don't want to see the picture.
Oh, I don't want, I mean, I just stumbled upon it because I'm looking at the news story here. And
yeah.
I'm like, whoa.
Is there so what's the picture?
No, it's the picture of a gentleman. He's looking straight ahead. He's not looking at, they've got a sheet over the person next to them, and they blurred it out, but they are just looking straight ahead. They're trying not to pay attention.
I mean, you've got to be just frozen and mortified at that point. I don't know what I would do. And I have this phobia about death. I do, like, funeral homes and hearses and like everything about it just makes me really uncomfortable. I could not even imagine what this couple was feeling. I couldn't even imagine. They need a whole lot of compensation.
Yeah. All right, 651-461-9226. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Word on the street to close out the show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Word on the street, people. Let's get to it. We're ready. Final segment of the Lake Show. We typically do Word on the Street at 8:20, but we had Sloan Martin. We went a little extra long talking women's basketball and the news of the day with Dinah Taurasi, retiring from the WNBA. But let's get to it.
Who didn't think that Fyre Festival was a massive success? I mean, shouted from the rooftops how much we loved Fyre Festival. Well, not number one, but here comes Fyre Festival number two. That's right. We've got a sequel. It's set to be held on Mexico's Isla de Mujeres between May 30th and June 2nd, according to the festival's founder, Billy McFarland. Now, McFarland on Monday described Fyre Festival 2 as, quote, a three-day escape to the Mexican Caribbean, where you'll explore day by day alongside your favorite talent, come together at night and celebrate with the music in a news release posted to his X page. The release also promises world-class accommodations and adventures led by international and local talent, taking guests on boundary-pushing excursions by day and uniting for intimate beachside performances at night. Performers have not been announced. Now, McFarland is the founder of the original 2007 Fyre Festival that gained popularity after it was heavily promoted on social media by influencers and celebrities before disastrously unfolding. Attendees who spent thousands of dollars on tickets were met with mass disorganization, shoddy tented lodging, and now infamous limp cheese sandwiches when they arrived on the island of Xmas in the Bahamas for the festival. Now, many of the musicians who were expected to perform, like Blink-182 and Major Lazer, ended up backing out of the festival prior to its start. In 2018, McFarland was sentenced to 6 years in prison after pleading guilty to charges of wire fraud, bank fraud, and making false statements to federal law enforcement. He was released from prison in 2022 after serving nearly 4 years of his six-year sentence. Quote, I'm sure many people are going to think I'm crazy for doing this again, but I feel I'd be crazy not to do it again, said in a statement on Monday. His statement concluded, after years of reflection and now thoughtful planning, the new team and I have amazing plans for Fyre 2. The adventure seekers who trust the vision and take the leap will help make history. Thank you to my partners for the second chance. Now, in 2023, McFarland announced his plans for Fyre Festival 2, which at the time was set to take place in the Caribbean last year. According to the LA Times, plans for that festival were scrapped and tickets were refunded.
Yeah, I don't want to have anything to do with this festival. This guy's a scammer. Like, who wants to go ahead and place their money or buy or purchase these tickets knowing you're going to get scammed? Fool me once. Like, there's a lot of scammers and grifters out there.
Yep. You could be selling a gold card for citizenship.
I just don't get scammed, people.
No.
Especially in a bad economy.
Who can afford to go to Fyre Fest? I'm going to wait for the third.
We complain about egg prices. I don't want to get scammed going to a festival that the guy that's throwing it's known for just being shady.
Yeah, I want to wait and see if they work out the kinks before I commit to number three. Hey, George Clooney is living a life that might be surprising to many. The esteemed actor and director opened up about his life with his wife, Amal Clooney, and their 7-year-old twins, Alexandria and Ella, in an interview with the New York Times. They have homes in England and near his family in Kentucky, told the publication, but their primary residence these days is a farm in France. I did not know this. He said, growing up in Kentucky, all I wanted to do was get away from a farm, get away from that life. Now I find myself back in that life. I drive a tractor and all those things. It's the best chance of a normal life. Now, Clooney's a farmer. It's not for role. What's true, though, people would be forgiven if they thought it was for a project. Something else the star has done recently, he did is enjoy bowling. Though he said he last bowled 30 years ago, he said, oh my God, it's an amazing thing getting older where you think you can still do the stuff that you love. 63-year-old said his twins help keep him active and young. Quote, we're riding in the car to school and I make them listen to heavy metal because I just like it when they sing. My daughters fall in love with tragic songs. She loves Billie Eilish's What I Was Made For and Harry Nelson's Without You. They're happy kids, so I'm really lucky.
That's awesome, dude. I mean, he's 63.
Yes.
And he's got 7-year-olds. There's hope for me.
Absolutely. There's hope for anybody. Well, almost anybody.
Almost.
Hey, Alec Baldwin and his wife, Hilaria, spoke candidly about their family's struggle, the aftermath of their fatal 2021 Rush shooting in the first episode of their new reality series. In the premiere of The Baldwins, a screener for which was shared with the press ahead of its Sunday premiere on TLC, the couple opened up about their efforts to shield their children from the aftermath of the tragic event and emotional toll took on all of them as individuals. Alec Baldwin at one point said, in the most difficult moments of the terrible year prior to his trial, there were times I'd lay in bed and I'd go, wow, I can't get up. He said, it's not like me. I'm not like that at all. Not in any way that I'm like that ever. His wife added, everyone who's close to Alec has seen his mental health decline. He was diagnosed with PTSD. She said, in his darkest moments, husband would wonder, if an accident had to happen to me today, why am I still here? Wait, why couldn't it have been me? Now, Baldwin, who was a co-producer on the film and its star, was charged with involuntary manslaughter for his involvement in the Rust shooting, which during cinematographer Helena Hutchins was shot and killed. The New Mexico set of the Western film, film's director Joel Souza was also injured. Baldwin pleaded not guilty and maintained that he did not pull the trigger of the discharged prop gun. Baldwin's case was dismissed. Dramatic fashion, days after his trial began in July 2024, he had faced up to 18 months in prison.
So I got a question. If he didn't pull the trigger, who pulled the trigger?
I don't know.
How do we not know?
Like,
what are we doing here?
Yeah, we don't know. Don't know. Hmm. Hey, and finally here, I don't know if you saw The Daily Show last night, but John Stewart.
I was watching the the Wolves.
Watching the Wolves. I gave up on the Wolves, full disclosure. I mean, they were dead to me. Well, last night on The Daily Show, he accidentally sliced his hand open when he was smashing a coffee mug on his desk. It was real. Gesture was made in anger towards the billions of dollars of federally funded pharmaceutical subsidies ignored by Elon Musk Doge. As an example of the U.S. government's history of glaring deficiencies, Stewart pulled a clip of former President Joe Biden celebrating negotiations to lower the price of 10 widely used pharmaceutical drugs.
Yep.
And enraged Stewart, who was pretending to work for Doge with a coffee mug and calculator, deemed that hardly a reason to celebrate. He said, the companies we subsidize with millions of dollars are allowing us to privilege to negotiate the price of 10 of their drugs, he said with a phony excitement. And 10 of them, right? Well, it would be embarrassing if it was a small drop in the bucket. Not that the American people didn't expect that we should have to negotiate for all their freaking drugs, because we've already paid for them with our subsidies. It's freaking insane. He then spiked the mug on his desk, shattering it to pieces. He quickly realized he cut himself and moved his hand out of sight before joking, I will be going to the hospital soon. Before the incident, Stewart played accountant and tallied up all the wasted government dollars Doge could be saving instead of targeting the 200,000 federal employees. He said he talked about the $3 billion in subsidies we give to oil and gas companies, the $1.3 billion a year to close down the interest loophole on hedge funds. How about we stop the $2 trillion we've given to defense contractors? And there you go. He just solved the Doge deficit. But it was scary. Like, it legitimately happened. It was like, oh, damn, that wasn't a bit. He was really bleeding.
I hope he's doing better.
Nah, he's got the rest of the week off. He'll be fine. It's merely a flesh wound.
Oh,
Monty Python.
Man.
For those that get it.
The Holy Grail, baby.
You got it.
Of course. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. Dude.
Love it.
All right, that's going to wrap up the Late Show here on this Tuesday. Back at it tomorrow. Remember, we start at 6. No more Inside Twins, because before you know it, we'll be back with Twins baseball. Full show tomorrow. Talk to you then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.